Okay, we're holding on in Zion number days, three lines from the bottom. So the one I discussed, we discussed yesterday the question in connection with our Mishnah of are you over on the we know the Torah says Lo Takifu Pas Roshchem, you're not allowed to cut off your payas in such a way that you have your hairline makes a straight line from the temple to above the ear, which means you have to leave the payas. What about and for sure then if you leave the rest of the hair and shave or cut off the payas, you've been over on that. What about if you shave the entire head, payas included? So we discussed yesterday the pros and cons of whether we might say that that's also over on the Issa D'Oraisa, or maybe it's only also D'Rabbanan. And we talked about the relevance of that to our Mishnah, because our Mishnah had talked about a case where somebody might be shaving in case they were tummy, and then in case they were the nazir became tummy, and later on in case they were nazir was tar, where one or another of those shavings is going to wind up being shalom v'shem mitzvah. The Gemara says, "Lema hakafas kalorosh tanoi." Can we actually say that this issue of whether shaving your entire head, payas and all, is an issur d'oraisa? Can we say that this is actually a machlokes tanoi? The Tanur Rabbanan, because we learned a braisa.
The Gemara is coming up with this question, right?
That's once we have, because before we discuss the question, is it an issur or is it not? We have, on the face of it, two different possible ways we could have understood our Mishnah. We could have understood, again, let's recap. Our Mishnah had told us that you have two people, one of them became two Nazirim, one of them became Tomei, we don't know which one. So we said both of them shave and bring their karbonis, and then later on, a month or whatever it is later, both of them again shave and they bring one set of karbonis, the karbon tara. Now the problem is, the second time around, if both of them are shaving, so each one is shaving the second time because he might have been the one who was Tomei last time and shaved for Tumah, and now he's reshaving at the end of his Nazirus Tara. But the problem is one or the other of them on the face of it is shaving not for the sake of the mitzvah, because it turns out he wasn't Tomei, and therefore he did his proper shaving the first time around.
Yes.
So what did we say? So Shmuel had said that we have to understand that our Mishnah must be Davka talking about women or children who don't have that Issur. We can't say that the Mishnah is talking about men. On the other hand, we argued that Shmuel could conceivably have learned the Mishnah that it is talking about men, and it's not a problem because Akafah's Kalorosh is not considered Akafah. So we have, that's the point. We're saying there's two different possible ways. So Shmuel picked one way, according to the first version we had in the Gemara anyway. Conceivably, he could have picked the other way. So now, can we say that those two possible ways of understanding the Mishnah actually reflect two different opinions of Tanoim? The Tanur Rabbanan, as we learn in a Braisa, we had this earlier in the Masechta, in connection with the general question of a Nazir and a Mitzvah shaving their hair. We brought it up in connection with the whole issue about a Nazir is not allowed to pluck out any of his hair, is not allowed to use tweezers or whatever on it. So in that connection, the pasuk says roishoy that the mitzvah has to shave his entire head. Matam of loyma. Why does the pasuk need to mention that? Given again, the pasuk uses the expression there by mitzvah. It says that at the end of his 7 days of counting, he has to shave his whole body, his head, his beard, and his eyebrows, and all of his hair. So that's we said then it was klal uprat uklal. And we said though that even fine, granted there has to be a prat, but what does it need to mention the hair of his head for? Isn't that included in the word all of his hair? You got like a skull, sorry. Matam of Lema, so what does that word Roshay come to teach us? Well, since we have a classic saying you're not allowed to shave your payas, Yachalach Mitzvah, okay? You would think the same thing, a Mitzvah is the same thing. Tam of Lema Roshay. Therefore, that's why the classic tells us Roshay that he is an exception. He shaves his hair, he shaves the hair of his head, even though normally you would not be allowed to shave the hair of your head. Okay, that's one braisa. The Tanya Idoch, then we have another braisa, which we also quoted in that connection, Roshay Matam of Lema. Again, why does the classic say by the word Roshay, by the Mitzvah? Lefisha Nema Gabi Nazir. The reason is, since it says by a Nazir, Tar Lo Yava Roshay, that a razor is not allowed to pass over his head. So since by a Nazir it says that he's not allowed to shave his hair, Yocholach Nazir Mitzvah, okay, and you would think the same thing should apply to a Nazir who became a Mitzvah, Tamad Lema Roshay, therefore by the Mitzvah, the Pasuk says Roshay. So basically, we have two brises then, that are, one of them is saying the word roisho teaches us that in general, a person is allowed to shave his hair at the end of his taras, even though normally a person is also to. And the second one is limiting it specifically to the case of a nazir who became a mitzvah. So, my la tanayi. So doesn't that mean then that this issue of hakafas kol roish, of shaving the entire head, is a machlokas tanayi? Lamanda amami nazir. The opinion, the second braisa that refers the word roisha specifically to a nazir who became a mitzvah, kasava hakafas kol roish loishma hakafa. He would hold that ordinarily shaving your entire head, payas and all, is not an iser daraisa. So therefore, in other words, according to that second braisa, so we wouldn't need a pasuk to tell us that ordinarily a mitzvah is allowed to shave his hair. Because ordinarily, even a regular person who's not a mitzvah would be allowed midaraisa to shave all his hair. According to that second braisa, well, that's what we're arguing, according to that second braisa. So why do we need a pasuk? It has to be l'mishches loisas ha'ese. It has to be to tell us that even though in the case of a nazir, it's a regular person who shaves, so we would argue as follows, in other words, so far. A regular person who shaves his whole hair, his whole head, including his payas, is not over on anything. On the other hand, a nazir who shaves his head, when it's not for the case of a mitzvah, would be over on an esseh and a lois esseh. He's over on an esseh because he has a mitzvah tasseh to grow his hair, and a mitzvah lois esseh not to shave it. So we would need, according to the second braisa, we would need the word roisha by the mitzvah to teach us that that esseh of the mitzvah shaving his hair overrides a lois esseh and an esseh, which is a very unusual thing, by the way, and we'll talk about it later on Amud Beis, how that could be, b'chol. I mean, usually you have the rule, an esseh can override a lois esseh, but it can't override an esseh and a lois esseh. We'll talk about that later. How that so that's the thing. You have the esser that the mitzvah has to shave his hair. You galach tosar, right? Against that, you have the esser of the mitzvah gadol peras arosh. They grow the hair of his head long. By nazir, yeah. And you have the lois esser tarlo yav harosh. He's not allowed to shave his hair. And we're saying that the case of the mitzvah where you have to shave his hair because it's the end of his taras overrides both of those. So therefore, according to that second braisa, in other words, that's the only reason why the Torah needs to use the word roshe by the mitzvah. If it hadn't used that, we wouldn't know that we make an exception for the nazir. But we wouldn't have a problem with the regular person who is not a nazir shaving after his taras because he's shaving his entire head, including the payas. And, according to this way of looking at it, we would say that's not considered hakafa. Hakafa is only when you leave the hair above the payas and cut off what's below them. V'idach, whereas the first braisa, Savar, the tanner of the first braisa would hold hakafas kol roish shmo hakafa, that yes, shaving the whole head is considered hakafa. It is considered cutting off the payas in the sense that it would make him chayev malchus for it. So we need the pasuk by the mitzvah. Pasuk tell us that this is an exception. Normally, you're not allowed to shave your payas with or without the rest of your head. In this case, the mitzvah is shaving his whole head with the payas, and yet it's mutter. So therefore, it comes out, you have those two opinions, whether hakafas kol roish is a problem or not. Rava says no. By the way, we have a bit of an unusual thing with this mention of Rava, because this is the first time in five blocks we've had him. Last we had him was on Daphne and Gimel. It happens, you know, I mean, but he and Abaya are probably the Amoroi mentioned most in all of Shas. The Gemara as a whole is called Abaya Stabaya Rava, but here, it so happens that we've gone several blocks without him. Anyway, Amar Rava, Bikule Alma Hakafas Kol Roish Loishma Hakafa. No, you could argue back that actually everybody would agree that Hakafas Kol Roish is not a problem. V'chi Asa Kruk V'en Shehikif L'Va Seif Gilach. But you could argue, what does the positive need? So according to the one opinion, then according to the second braisa, you need the word roisha to tell you that even in the case of a nazir, even though there's an esseh and a lois esseh, nevertheless the esseh of the mitzvah overrides them. Fine, so far so good. Why, according to the first braisa, would you need the word roisha for an ordinary person if by an ordinary person a kofas kol roish is also not a problem? The reason would be because shehikif l'vaseh gilach. Suppose that person, when he was taking his haircut as a mitzvah, when he's finished with his saraf, suppose he first cuts off the payas and then continues and cuts off the rest of his hair. So according to that, you could argue if you didn't have the word roisha, you would say at that point, having cut off his payas without having cut off the rest of his hair, he should be chayev. So note, the pasuk would be telling us that. Since if he had shaved it all at once, he wouldn't be chayev. Fine. So even if he cuts off his payas and then the rest of his hair, he also wouldn't be chayev. That's what the pasuk Rosh would be telling us. But question is, we might ask me kotzav krahachi. Why would the pasuk be? How can we assume that the pasuk would be saying such a thing? How can we assume that the word Rosh in the pasuk would be giving us that meaning? When you get down to it, you have a choice in that regard. Mela, if you first, the Ha'amar Rish Lakish, didn't Rish Lakish say, Kol Mokam Shata Moitza Esa V'Loitza, so any time when you have an Esa and Loitza opposing each other, Im Ata Yochel Akayim Es Shneim, if you're able to fulfill the both of them, Mutav, then so much the better, V'im Lav Yav Esa V'Yitches Loitza, and if not, then the Esa overrides the Loitza. So in other words, in our case over here, yes, obviously, At some point, the Mitzvah is going to have to cut off his payas. No question about it, because he has to shave his whole head. But if you're going to argue that, according to what Robert just said, that you have two different ways of doing it, you have one, which would be Akafas Kol HaRosh, where you start with the top of your head and work your way down, and the payas are the last thing you cut off. And then you have the other way, where you start from the bottom up, you start with the payas and work your way to the top, let's say. One of them, you don't need a pasuk to tell us is mutter. Because if we're going to argue our kafas kol harosh is not a problem, then of course, by the time you've cut off everything and just left the payas, and then at that point you cut off the payas, of course you're not over on anything, according to this way of looking at things. You're telling me, Rava, that on the other hand, you have another way of doing it, where you could start with the payas. Why should we assume the pasuk is giving you a heter to do that? You have the option of doing it the other way, in a way that won't make you chayev, that you won't be over on the lo seseh. Why should we assume the pasuk is an after you to be over, to do it in a way that is temporarily being over on the lo seseh, shaving the payas first?
But if they're destined to be cut off anyway, since they're destined to be cut off anyway, is it considered as if they're cut off even before?
No, not really. I mean, no, apparently not. I mean, sometimes we say that. Sometimes it's called we touched on that a few days ago. But first of all, it's actually machlokas tanoim whether we say that in various cases. But over here, preposterous, we don't say that. I mean, yes, eventually he's going to have to cut it off. But right now, again, the argument is that right now, the way he'd be cutting it off, first is payas, then the rest, you need a special pasuk to be matzir it. But why should we assume the pasuk is being matzir you to do that? Better do it the other way around, and then you don't need any special answer.
Meaning what?
First the top, and then the payas. Ella, no. So Rava's idea doesn't work. Let's try the other way around. The Kulayam HaKafas Kol HaRosh Shema HaKafah. We could argue that both Tanoim do hold that HaKafas Kol HaRosh is considered HaKafah, which is what we said Shmuel understood our Mishnah to say yesterday. That's why he said our Mishnah has to be talking about women or children. So what do we have from that? So the first braisa is the first braisa is saying even though normally shaving your whole head would be an issur, nevertheless the Torah is matir it here by the word roshay. The second braisa would be saying that even where there's a loisase and an esse involved, nevertheless the mitzvah of the mitzvah shaving overrides that. Now the question is, Amanda Moshim Lakral, the Mitchalosa said the Esser. Fine, according to that second Braisa, if we're going to say now that he wants to say that the word Roshay is teaching us the mitzvah of the Mitzvah, the Esser of the Mitzvah, can even override a Loisa and an Esser, Lav Greater Manole, fine, but where does he know the general concept that an Esser is able to override the Lav? I mean only a Lav. When you have only a lav without another esse. Classic examples, I mean, the example the Gemara is going to bring in a second is Kalai and Betzitzis. But, another classic example of it, for example, the Gemara mentions in Shabbos, there's a whole sugya about it that we learned back then, is Mila Betzaras. The person has Tzaras on the Orla. Ordinarily, you're not allowed to cut off the Simonim of Tzaras, but here you do the Bris, even though it means removing the Tzaras. So according to this second Braisa, Where do we know that an Esa has the power to override just when you only have a lav?
What's the question?
Okay, so you could. You could, but the issue is there's a couple of things over here. On the one hand, the mitzvahs of the Nazir, as we're going to learn on Omid Beis, there is
a special pasuk here, not
and yes, and the reason would there's two logical reasons to say over here. On the one hand, the Isurim of Nazir have a certain kula to them, which we've talked about before, and we'll talk again on Omid Beis. Yeshne b'sheila, the Nazir is always able to be matir neder. So therefore, you could argue that there's a certain leniency in it. On the other hand,
what do we mean the Nazir is always able to be matir
neder? Any time during his Nazirus, the Nazir can decide, you know what, I didn't want to take this on, I shouldn't have in the first place, and he goes to a Beis Din, he goes to a Chacham, and then he's matir neder.
I thought the only way that could be done, though, is if there was something that he didn't know when he took it.
Yeah, well, there's either. We learned about it in Nedarim. There's Pesach or there's Charoto. There's Pesach where they point out to him a side effect of it, like a consequence that he hadn't thought of at the time. Or there's Charoto where he regrets having done the whole thing in the first place. Yeah. But whatever, such things exist. So the fact that...
But I thought that it was something that would exist in case from case to case, that you couldn't say in a general way that for... Every person could be matir neder.
No, but you can. In principle, any person can be matir neder. It might be, for some of them, it might be harder to find a pesach than for others. You know, this is why, for example, in Pirkei Avos, what does it say? Al tisha loy b'shas nidre. When a person is in the middle of making a neder, don't ask him, what are you doing? So it's like this. If you tell him, for example, of time, you know, you're making this neder, do you realize the consequences? He, in the heat of the moment, is going to say, I don't care, I'm doing it anyway. Later on, when he wants a pesach, you've destroyed that potential pesach for him. The point is, in other words, there is that concept that Nazirus, unlike many other Isurim, is subject to She'ela. It is subject, fine, in an individual case, it can depend. Some people are able to, some people are not able to, but in principle...
Some people are not able to, how could we make a blanket?
Because that's the thing. As a general rule, the concept of Nazirus has She'ela. Whereas, for example, the concept of Kilayim that we're going to talk about now, the concept of Saras, all these other things, there's no She'ela. There's no being matir neder, and now you're allowed to wear. Shabbos. That's why even in the face of a nazir, we're saying that the mitzvah of the masorah cutting his hair will override the dinim of a nazir. That may only be by a nazir. We can't necessarily generalize from it to other cases. Then there's also another consideration. Also, There's other considerations also. There is the fact, Tosfos talks about it, that the shaving of the Mitzvah also has a certain advantage in that it has to do with Shalom Bayis. Namely, during what happens, so the Mitzvah is taking two haircuts. He takes one right after the Kohen does the thing with the birds and the water and whatnot from the beginning of Parshas Mitzvah. He shaves, he tovels, and he waits 7 days. During those 7 days, he's also the Tashmish HaMitzvah. He's also to have relations with his wife. At the end of those 7 days, he shaves again, tovels again, and then the next morning he can bring his korbanos. So during those 7 days, he's separated from his wife. Therefore, that creates a certain issue of shalom bayis. You could argue, therefore, the shaving of a mitzvah is stronger, maybe, than other esses, because it has that additional thing of shalom bayis involved, as opposed to other esses that don't. So the nazir, that's the thing. The esse and the loisus of the nazir is weaker because it's yesh nevesheva. And conversely, the essa of Mitzvah is stronger because it involves Shalom Bayis.
And the Nazir does not involve Shalom Bayis?
No, not at all. The Nazir is allowed to be with his wife. It's not one of the things that's also true Nazir. Yeah. Incidentally, by the way, I mean, without getting too far off topic, the Rambam has another explanation anyway why it is that the mitzvah of a Mitzvah shaving his hair overrides the usual Isurim of a Nazir. The Rambam says that it's actually because the Nazir, during the time that he's a Mitzvah, effectively his Nazirus is suspended. He doesn't really have the full Kedusha of a Nazir at that point. I mean, he does. He's also still to drink wine and become Tamil Mess, etc. But since we learned before that his Nazirus is frozen at a certain date until he finishes with his Saras, then effectively, like, his Nazirus itself is sort of like on hold. And Mepharshim talk about why the Rambam needs that reason, given that the Gemara itself is going to end up giving us another reason. One interesting thing they point out is because when the Gemara mentions later this idea that Nazirus is weaker because Yeshne B'Sheila, because in principle any Nazir could go and be Matir Neder. Again, maybe an individual Nazir might not have a Pesach to, but in principle the concept exists.
It's available.
But how about a Nazir Shimshin? We learned near the beginning of the Masechta about the case of a Nazir Shimshin, somebody who declares himself a Nazir like Shimshin, where he's a Nazir for the rest of his life, and Eine B'Sheila. You can't even be Matir Neder for that. So for that, the Gemara's reason wouldn't work, but the Rambam's reason still works.
Is that true of any Nazir Olam or only?
No, only a Nazir Shimshin. Nazir Olam is different. Nazir Olam is Yeshna B'Shayla. Okay. Getting back to the Gemara. So, anyway, so according to that second Braise, if we're
notice
saying...
Notice you do the Kalachem in all the two cases, three cases, the regular Nazir, Nazir Shimshin, Nazir Olam, you're not able to do any Shayla. The...
Yes, they would have to not, you can't do Sheila by any of them, and conversely, we'd have to have that the Esther, the third of them, have that strength of Shalom Bayis, yeah. Okay, so according to that second Braise, if we're saying that the reason why we have to have the word Roshoi is to tell us that in this special case, the Esther of the Mithoda overrides the Esther and the Loisa of the Nazir, Lav Greg, Manoli. So where does he learn the fact that just a plain Lav can be overridden by a plain Esther? The answer is Yalef Megdilim. Okay, he learns it from the case of Tzitzis. Megdilim is fringes. The Amakra, the Pasuk says, Lysoba Shatnez, that you shouldn't wear Shatnez, Vitania, and you have two stuck in back to back. Lysoba Shatnez, Semer Opishtim Yachtav, you can't wear Shatnez, wool and linen together. And then the next Pasuk is Dilim Tasalaha al Abakantik Tzitzis. So you have to make for yourself fringes, Tzitzis, on the four corners of your garment. So, Vitania, we learn in a Braisa, when it says Lysoba Shatnez, it says, don't wear shatnez, hug gdilim, tasalacha mehem. But, on the other hand, the implication is, but you can make gdilim, you can make tzitzis out of shatnez. So therefore, there you have an Esther overriding a loisa. Okay. Now, umandam nachalim erosha, my time. So we need that. So that tells us the general concept that an Esther can override a loisa.
That's the source,
that's what we're saying. Once we have that, then the Tana of the second Braisa can say that we now also, in the case of a Nazir, wear Yeshne B'Sheila, and a Mitzvah that involves Shalom Bayis, that there even an Esther can even override a Loisa to an Esther.
Wouldn't you infer the second one from the second one, you could apply to the first one. If already a Nese can override a Nese and a Loisa.
But that's what we just said, because the Mitzvah has a strength that most Essers don't have, and the Nazir's Esser and Loisa have a weakness that most Essers and Loisa don't have. Fine, let's go back then according to the first Braisa now. If we're saying that you learn that you don't need Roshah, you're not talking about a Nazir who's a Mitzvah, just a person who's a Mitzvah, and he shaves even though usually he'd be also too. So that's a regular case of Esser Derech HaLoisa. My time alone, not Kalei Megdilim. So why doesn't he learn it? Why can't he learn it just as well from Megdilim from the case of Shatnez and Tzitzis? Why, according to him, what do you need the word Roshah for? The answer is, Amalach, he can answer you l'chadur rava hudasa. You're right. Actually, though, the word gdilim, the pasuk about shatnez and gdilim, actually teaches us, rather, what rava teaches us. Not what we just said, that you learn from that about esed d'chaboyses, that you can wear tzitzis even though they contain kalayim, but rather we're going to learn something else from it. The rava rami, because rava pointed out a contradiction in the psukim. In Parashat Tzitzis, that we say every day, v'nosnu al tzitzis akonof, that you should put on the tzitzis of the corner, which implies min konof. That implies that the tzitzis should be of the same type of material as the corner. So whatever... Wait, relax. Meaning, in other words, on the face of it, when you say v'nosnu al tzitzis akonof, it means if you're wearing a woolen garment, it needs woolen tzitzis, a linen garment needs linen tzitzis, a cotton garment needs cotton tzitzis, etc. Uchtiv tzemer opishtim yachta. But then you have the pasuk, the Gilin pasuk that we just quoted, where it says leisod shatnez, and it says tzemer opishtim yachta, wool and linen together, and then it continues with gilim tasalcha, which we're understanding that Semer Opishtim Yachtav is not only meant as a definition of Kilayim, of Shatnez, it's also meant to tell us, it's also meant to be put together with the next pasuk. Semer Opishtim Yachtav Gilim Tasalacha, that you should make for yourself fringes out of wool or out of linen. Which would imply then, for example, you're wearing a cotton or silk or what have you garment, it would need wool tzitzis or linen tzitzis. So what is it? Is it that it needs cotton tzitzis or is it it needs wool or linen tzitzis? Okay, so what does this mean? Semer opishtim potud ben maminon ben shalei maminon. Wool or linen tzitzis patur a garment, whether it's the same type or a different type. So you can use, regardless what the garment is made out of, you can put wool tzitzis on it, or you can put linen tzitzis on it, and you yotze.
Semer
opishtim. Shamin, and as far as the other types of material, the minon potuin, shaloba minon enin potuin. Only if it's the same type of material do they pass through the garment, otherwise not. So a cotton garment can only have one of three. It can have wool tzitzis, linen tzitzis, or cotton tzitzis. If you were to put silk tzitzis on a cotton garment, for example, you're not yotzei. And similarly with all the other species. So we learn that from the pasuk of Gilim, not the idea of etzadoch alosase. Tosfos points out, by the way, based on this Gemara, it comes out that all kinds of materials, all kinds of garments are chayev and tzitzis min haTorah. It's just an issue of what kind of tzitzis you need to put on them. The Rambam actually holds differently. The Rambam holds the Rambam understands things differently. Maybe he understands this only asmachta. I don't know. But whatever it is, he says only wool and linen garments are chayev and tzitzis min haTorah. Every other material is only chayev midrabanan. That's how he holds. That's how he understands. When we say Semer Pishtim Yaakov, that's referring to the material of the garment.
That's Rambam.
That's the Rambam holds that, and it's on that basis that we are careful that our minhag is to only wear wool and tzitzis, so that way we're definitely being mechayim the mitzvah on a deraisa level. Because if we were to wear cotton or polyester or what have you tzitzis, not necessarily would we be fulfilling the mitzvah of the Torah according to the Rambam.
Because
Semer Pish, because that's one or the other according to the Rambam to be chayiv deraisa. Okay. Okay. Fine. So far we seem to have covered most of our bases then. We have then, according to the two different Tanoim of the two different vices, we've established it as follows. Hakafas kalarosh is hakafas. Shaving the whole head, you're just as much chayiv as if you only shave the pate. Both of the Tanoim of these two vices agree to that, which again is why Shmuel had to understand our Mishnah in that sense. The two vices are basically arguing on what are we learning from where? Are we learning the concept of esedoch loisese from the fact that an ordinary person can shave as a mitzvah, even though normally he'd be also to do that? Or are we not learning that from there? We're learning that rather from the case of tzitzit, of kalayim tzitzit. And then in that case, then what do we need the pasuk right in the Tzorah for? To tell us that even a nazir shaves his hair if he's in the Tzorah. Okay, now we have one more loose end to tie up then. The high Tana, the Mapik L'Rosha, the Lav Greda. Fine, according to the Tana of the first Braisa, then we say the word Rosha teaches us that only that any Lav can be overridden by an Eser. So that's what he says. We're not talking about a Nazir, we're just talking about an ordinary person who only has the one Lav of Lois HaKifu Pas Rosha, and it's being opposed by the Eser that the Mitzvah should shave his hair. To us, the Esav Adachas Loisa says, Esav and Alon, fine. Where does he know then that in the case of a Nazir that he would shave his hair as a Mitzvah? The fact that you're taking an Esav and allowing it to override a Loisa as an Esav. No, but we just said before, you can't learn one from the other. We said before, you couldn't learn the one who says that you learn that the Esav of Mitzvah is like the Loisa as the Esav of Nazir. We said that you can't generalize from that to everywhere else because the Esav has a strength. And the loisah and the essa has a weakness, but the flip side is also true. You can't if the Tana of the first Braisa, if he's saying that an essa can override one loisah, that doesn't teach us that it can also override a loisah and essa. Fine, even if it's a weak loisah and essa, even if it's a strong essa, still we need to have some kind of source for it. The answer is nafkalim is kanai. Okay, but he actually learns it from another extra word in the case of Masoda. The pasuk by the Masoda doesn't just mention his hair, it also mentions his beard.
By the Masoda.
By the Masoda. The Tanya, and it says, as we learn in the Braisa as follows, Zekonai Matam Adlaima, what does the pasuk need, what do we need in the pasuk to mention the beard? Again, it mentioned by the Masoda you had a general rule, they should shave all of his hair. Then it says three specifics, his head, his beard, and his eyebrows. And then it says, again, a generality, that's kol sori yigaleach. So if it was just now, yes, we need a klal, a proper klal, because we need to learn what types of hair have to be shaved. We have the two different opinions over there. Is it only when you have a lot of hair in one area of the body and it's visible, as opposed to, let's say, for example, the hair on his arms, which is, even though it's visible, is not a thick concentration of it, or does it mean only that we're focusing on the fact that it's visible, but at least it means he doesn't have to, let's say, shave the inside of his nose? whatever it is, we need that klal of prophet klal. But for that klal of prophet klal, all we needed was a gabes enav. All we needed was that you mentioned the eyebrows. The fact that I mentioned the hair and the beard, both of those are extra. So the hair, we just went through the limud of it. Now we're going to talk about the beard. The matam lema, lefisha nema. Now it says by koyanim, ufaskanim leigalech. It says by a koyan, they should not shave the corners of their beard. Now, you have that Yisra applies to Yisraelim as well. By Yisraelim, the expression is Vesashis Eftahas Tukhanefa. The reason we're focusing on Koyanim is because with a Koyan, there's something else. The Koyan not only has a loisis and not the shaded beard, which he shares with all the other Jewish people, he also has an Ese, Kedoshim Yiyu Lelekeim. The mitzvah, Kedoshim Yiyu Lelekeim, includes that the Koyan has to be careful with all the special mitzvahs that are given to him. Since shaving his beard is one of the ones mentioned in that parsha, then it's included. So an ordinary person who shaves his beard or shaves the corners of his beard is over on the loisetze, loisashkes, as fast as kanecha. A kohen who does that is over on a loisetze and an esse.
The connection to the applies only to kohenim.
That's the context. It's talking about emor la kohenim b'nei Aaron, yeah. Yeah.
Loisetze doesn't include this kohenim.
No. No, as a matter of fact, consider, for example, in Hilchos Tzaraas, if a person has a nesek in his hair or in his beard, an eight posim is elevated. The halacha is that the Tzaraas that starts out in one, it's not considered, if it spreads to the other one, that's not considered, it's considered two different negayim. Yeah.
Does that mean that another can trim his beard?
So trimming the beard, I mean, that's, you get into a general question of whether trimming the beard is allowed. That's a whole other issue. But yes, we've talked about this. We touched on this before. Usually, the Rashba writes, for example, that a nazir only has to shave his hair. There's no place where it says a nazir shaves his beard. On the other hand, the Zohar mentions that a nazir shaves his beard as well.
Hmm.
So okay, you know what the Zohar means by that is a question. According to the Zohar, it sounds like it would be. It's part of his shaving. But whatever. According to black letter halacha, the nazir only shaves his hair, not his beard. Okay. So the fishanemo paskanim legale. Since the pasuk says by koyin that they can't shave the corners of their beard, yochalaf koyin mitzoda. Okay, and you'd think then the same thing applies to a koyin who's a mitzoda, that he's not allowed to shave his beard. That's why the pasuk mentions his beard, to say that it overrides those mitzvahs by a koyin. So there you have it. The loisas and an esse. The loisas ufas konam loyvalechu. The esse kedoshim yulelekem. And yes, the nose is shaved because by the mitzvah you have the esse yigalachas kol sari. Now back to umandematikle ledoshim the esse loisas. Fine. Then now let's go back to the second braisa. According to the second braisa we quoted before, that we use the word roishoy to teach us about an esse of a loisas. Leilef miskone. What does he need the word roishoy for that? He has the word skone available for that, like we just said. Oh, the Gemara asks back, okay, listen, look, according to your own logic, the Kaimel and Baalman, now the fact is, we do know throughout Shas, the loy asid esse v'docha es loy sese v'esse, there's a general rule throughout Shas, that an esse cannot override a loy sese v'esse. According to your logic, you're saying that you can use that you can use the example of a koyin by skanei to learn from it from another, later from the koyin v'dochi. Adarabi, you should learn from the case of a koyin who is a mitzvah. That is doisa. That even in a case we have an esse versus another esse plus a loisa, it should be doisa, just like a koyin who is a mitzvah goes and shaves his beard even though he has an esse loisa. Ella, no. What you have to answer is the koyin loy off in, because the fact is we can't derive it from the koyin, because malakoyin shekem lab she'ena shavu bakol, because the case of a koyin, his lab is weaker than an ordinary lab. It's not a lab that applies equally to everybody. Namely, we don't mean, now, when we say it doesn't apply equally to everybody, we don't mean actually, so the lab itself actually, the lab itself does apply equally to all Jewish men, because the same lab of shaving the beard applies to Yisraelim as well. But it doesn't apply to women. A lav she in a shavu bakol is, in this case, it only applies to men. It doesn't apply to women. Like we said yesterday, if a woman grows hair on her chin, she's allowed to shave it. So therefore, you can't say, so yes, you might have, in the case of a koyin, based on the word skonai, that there you allow an esse of the mitzvah to override the loisas of the esse of the koyin, but you can't learn from that for the rest of the Torah, because that's a weaker lav. You can't prove from that ordinarily an esse should override a lois esse and an esse together. Plus, also, the esse is unique to koyanim as well. The esse is only, the kedoshim yilo the kayim is unique only to koyanim. And conversely, Nazir Mikayin Nami Lo Yalif. Conversely, we can't learn the Nazir from the Kayin. But the same kind of thing. Just like throughout the Torah, we can't learn from the Kohen, because the Kohen's lav is weaker than an ordinary lav. Same thing. Nozim Kohen Namala, Yalosh Shekin Lav Shein Shal Vakol. Because again, the same thing. The lav is not the same by everybody. Because the lav by a Kohen is unique to Kohenim.
Not to ladies, not to women.
Yeah. So therefore you can't learn from that for the Nazir. Which in that case, Tosfos points out at this point in the discussion, then we could say fine, but we had before that by a regular Nazir we're allowing an Esset to override a Loisus and an Esset. So why does the Gemara bring up that point over here? Okay, the answer. Tosfos gives the answer because later on the Gemara is going to point out, like we said before, the lav of the nazir is weaker. The Esa and loisa seven nazir is weaker because yesh nevashela, so he's able to be matur neder. Okay. So, but anyway, the Gemara. For now, the Rosh says the Gemara is going to give a better answer. It's going to continue the discussion on a different note. Fine, going back then to the court, if we said that the word roisha, according to the second braisa, is talking about specifically a nazir who becomes a mitzvah, so according to him, lamalit skane. So according to him, what do you need the word skane for? Yeah, each of them seems to be saying the same thing, that an esek and that the esek of mitzvah overrides the loisas of esek, one in the case of a nazir, one in the case of a kohen. The answer is miboyle l'chidatanya. He needs it for... He needs it for the following. He needs it for what we learn in the following braisa. When the pasuk says zikonoi, ma tamad loymar. So, where is it over here? Agos Abach takes out a couple of lines of the Gemara over here actually, because they're not relevant in our survey over here. This next line and a half or two lines or so. We had. Somewhat the same sugya a couple of weeks ago in connection with the whole question of a nazir shaving his hair, and there it was more relevant. But here he takes it out and starts from ufasik hanem lo yigalechu. We'll run down it. Matam al zakonim, matam al loyma. What does the pasuk need to mention? His beard. Lepishenem ufasik hanem lo yigalechu. Since the pasuk says by a kohen that they're not allowed to shave the corners of their beard, yochal af kohen mitzvah kain. You would think the same thing is true by a kohen of the mitzvah. Tam al loyma zakonim. Therefore, it says zakonim. But we don't really need that over here because we already established that according to him, a mitzvah shaves his hair and his beard. So rather, umanolam de batar, how do we know that it has to be done with a razor? The Tanya, as we know, right? So here's where Akoy Sabach comes in and says that actually the Gemara really should only be quoting from here. Fasganam lo yigalechu. The pasuk says by a kohen that they're not allowed to shave the corner of their beard. Yochol af gilcha b'misparayim yehechayev. You would think then that he's chayev even if he shaves it using scissors. Shaving being defined, again, as you cut it all the way down to the skin level. So you'd think you're chayev. Tamad lemer v'loy sashkes. No, because the pasuk says by Yisrael it says loy sashkes, don't destroy it. Destroying implies that you're getting all the way down to. E loy sashkes. So okay, if you only had the word loy sashkes, yachol lichta and the malkut of rehit ni chayev. You would think maybe that if he removed them with a malkut or rehit ni, would also be chayev. We talked about then that malkut and rehit ni is either various kinds of tweezers or planes or chisels or whatever. No, because you also have, so you have two different psukim. One uses the word hashkaza, one uses the word giluach. So we learn from that that you need both. Even though one says by a kohen, one says by Yisrael, that doesn't really matter, because we can learn them by zeta shava, one from the other. We talked about before, because it says pa'as by both of them. Lo sashka says pa'as zekanecha, and uf'as zekanem lo yigalechu. So therefore, ezo giluach sheyesh behashchasa. What is the definition of shaving that involves hashchasa? Hevem is a tar. That can only be a razor, because with scissors, it's not truly hashchasa because it doesn't get all the way down to the skin level. This is, by the way, when they talk about various shavers nowadays, which ones that some post are mamatu and which ones are not. It basically gets down to the question of is the blade directly touching the skin. If it is, then it's like a pair. If not, then it's like misparayim, because what's misparayim is a pair of scissors where one blade, the one blade kind of keeps the other one from directly touching the skin. I'm talking about electric shavers, but I'm saying among electric shavers themselves, you have one where the blade makes direct contact with the skin, and then you have ones where not, where you have a screen and where you have a screen between the blade and their skin or whatever.
There's no measure of pairs that actually.
As long as it's above, that's what we're saying. As long as there's something, as long as not, Again, I mean, there's all kinds of other issues in halacha involved with shaving or trimming your beard, but we're not really getting into those over here. One of them, actually, we'll sort of touch on tomorrow, the whole idea of lo yobash gever, that a man is not allowed to adorn himself like a woman. So we'll discuss the relevance of that to this tomorrow.
Meaning what?
Well, so we'll talk about tomorrow. Tomorrow we'll talk about as far as body hair and so forth. Yeah. So we'll talk about beards in that connection also. So giluach is defined as it has to be so in order for it to be giluach, would have to be something that is normally used for, so in other words, put it this way, scissors could be considered giluach, because just like it's just as common to cut hair with scissors as it is with a razor, but that's not hashkafa, because it doesn't cut all the way down to the skin level. Conversely, a malkut and rehiti are hashkafa, because they get it all the way down to the skin level, maybe even below it, because they pluck out the hair. But it's not giluach, because those are not normally used for shaving. Only a razor, only a tar fits both.
At the skin level and usual.
Yeah. So therefore, that's what we're using the word zikonai for. We're saying therefore that even though usually the pasuk is saying that you're not allowed to shave your beard with a razor, nevertheless, a mitzvah shaves his beard with a razor. Okay, going back now, if we said, according to the first opinion, that the word roisha just teaches us that an essa overrides a plain lab without this whole thing of essa and loitzese, because we said that he learns from the skonai, lomli l'mist of roisha v'lomli l'mist of skonai. What do we need to have both words roisha and skonai? Mashma l'mitchi lab greda, mashma l'mitchi loisas have esse. You could argue that one of them is telling you that an esse overrides a lab. One of them is telling you that it overrides a loisas and an esse. So it comes out therefore it's basically it's equal. Each one could equally well be learned out from either one via Voyushnan. So therefore, you could just learn both of them from the same word. What do you need both words? One teaches one, and one teaches the other.
You have to know which one teaches.
No, let me rephrase that. You can have one word. Given that when we say that you can't learn two things from one word, that's when you have a logical reason to argue that one of them is that one of them is more applicable and one of them is less applicable or whatever. Here, where both of them are on equal level. So you should be able to learn both of them. The answer is no, you do need both of them. Koyin mi nozer lo yalif, because again, like we said before, you can't learn the koyin from the nozer. Shekin yeshne v'sheila, because the nozer has a weakness in his loitase in that he's able to be matunyadir. Nozer mi koyin lo yalif, and you can't learn the nozer from the koyin. Shekin lav shein eshava b'koyin, because when it comes to the koyin, the lav that's involved with him is not generic to all Jews. We said before, it doesn't apply to women. And by the way, we can't learn from either the nazir or the koyin to the rest of the Torah. Because again, you would have the same objections to each one of them. You could argue the nazir is different; it has its own difference. The koyin has its own difference. So you can't say. That's why we say that an esa cannot be doicha loisa san an esa. So what about a tzad hashava? Tzad hashava meaning, in other words, let's say that the Tosfos asks that at the end of the long Tosfos here, haras. Tadashava would mean we had this concept of a week or two ago that we can't learn from one thing, we can't learn from the other, but let's learn from the combination of both of them. You could argue in other words, let's argue like this: an esse can override a loisa and an esse. Why? Let's say based on nazir. He's going to tell me why the nazir is weaker. His lav is his yeshne b'sheila. So I'll answer you. Look at the kohen. His lav is not yeshne b'sheila. A kohen can't be matir neder to become no longer a kohen. And yet there you have that an esser that an esser overrides his lois as an esser. So you're going to answer back. Okay, but the kohen is ain't a shalav b'kohel, so it only applies to men, not to women. I'll answer you back. Look at another. Look at another lois as an esser. Those apply equally well to men and women. Because both a man and woman could be a nazir, the chazir adin, and you could have that hatzad hashavah should have had. What do they both have in common? They have an esser of mitzvah, overriding the lois and an esser. So therefore, maybe now we can bring in and say that the same thing everywhere else. So this is where Tosfos says. This is where Tosfos says that we can't do that because the esser of the mitzvah, like we said before, has a certain strength to it. The strength of shalom bayis. The fact that without his second haircut, he's not going to be able to go back to live with his wife. So that esser has that strength. You can't generalize from that to other essers in the Torah that don't have that strength and say that they should be able to override a lois as an esser. Yeah.